This morning, if you would, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 17. Now, as you read through this portion of Scripture, these 37 verses, you'll notice that they're kind of broken down into four essentials for the Christian life that Jesus was instilling in his men. Remember, he's down to the last few months of his life before he goes to the cross. Last few months of his earthly ministry. And so he's trying to instill in his men lessons of faith. And we saw on Thursday that in verses 1 through 6, Jesus taught on forgiveness. In verses 7 through 10, Jesus taught on faithfulness and service. In verses 11 through 19, Jesus taught on having a heart of thankfulness. And then in verses 20 through 37, Jesus taught on being prepared for the coming kingdom. Now, this morning, we're going to focus on one of those areas. And that's having a heart of thankfulness towards God. And I think many times what happens in our own lives very easily is that we get accustomed to our blessings, that we forget to thank God for all he's done for us. Now, sometimes we also focus on what we don't have instead of what we do have, all the things that God has freely given us. And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, the kid at the birthday party, he gets all the presents and then he goes, yeah, but I didn't get this. Yeah, but look at all you have. And we miss out on that. And it's kind of like Warren Wiersbe said in his book, God Isn't in a Hurry. He said, I have felt for a long time that one of the particular temptations of the maturing Christian is the danger of getting accustomed to his blessings. Like the world traveler who has been everywhere and seen everything, the maturing Christian is in danger of taking his blessings for granted and getting so accustomed to them that they fail to excite him as they once did. Emerson said that if the stars came out only once a year, everybody would stay up all night to behold them. We have seen the stars so often that we don't bother to look at them anymore. We have grown accustomed to our blessings. The Israelites in the wilderness got accustomed to their blessings, and God had to chasten the people. God had fed the nation with heavenly manna each morning, and yet the people were getting tired of it. But now our whole being is dried up, they said. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes. Nothing but manna. They were experiencing a miracle of God's provision every morning, yet they were no longer excited about it. Nothing but manna. One of the evidences that we have grown accustomed to our blessings is this spirit of criticism and complaining. Instead of thanking God for what we have, we complain about it and tell him we wish we had something else. You can be sure that if God did give us what we asked for, we would eventually complain about that. The person who has gotten accustomed to his blessings can never be satisfied. Another evidence of this malady is the idea that others have a better situation than we do. The Israelites remembered their diet in Egypt and longed to return to the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlics. They were saying, "The people in Egypt are so much better off than we are." Obviously, they had forgotten the slavery they had endured in Egypt and the terrible bondage from which God had delivered them. Slavery is a high price to pay for a change in diet. I have to agree with what Warren Wiersbe has to say, his observation of this issue. It's easy to fall into a pattern of unthankfulness. Now, please understand, this study is not to beat you up and toss you out. Okay, in fact, I hope none of my studies do that. I hope they help you to grow, to draw closer to God, to examine your heart, to examine my heart, my walk, your walk. You know, to do a heart check on ourselves so that we could see areas that we may need to change so we can grow, get our lives back on track if they're off track. And so my desire for me and for you as you go through this study is that you would leave here this morning with hearts of thanksgiving towards God. Something that I think sometimes we just forget about doing. You know, it's even like with your relationship with your spouse. When was the last time you thanked your spouse for whatever they've done? Or you just take for granted that, you know, your wife is going to cook for you or whatever. Did you ever thank them? Sometimes we get so accustomed to these things, and I think the same is true with God. And we need to take a step back and take a look at ourselves and evaluate that. And this morning, we're going to just pick up our study in Luke chapter 17, starting in verse 11. And just let's see what the Lord has for us with the story of the 10 lepers being cleansed. Luke tells us, "Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way, your faith has made you well." As I said, the cross is less than 6 months away. We're just a couple months probably right now away from the cross. Jesus is making his way to Jerusalem. Remember earlier on, he had set his face to go to Jerusalem. Nothing was going to stop him. His father had sent him on this mission. Nothing was going to get in the way of his work. Even though some of the religious leaders say, "Hey, you know, Herod's after you." And Jesus didn't buy that one. He didn't care. His face was set to go to Jerusalem. And on his way, he enters a city where 10 lepers were living. And it says that they were afar off, which makes a lot of sense because lepers could not get close to people. They couldn't touch people. And as you approached a leper, they would have to yell out, "Unclean, unclean," so you would not contaminate that person. Can you imagine that? Any person who was stricken with this disease, it was like a death sentence for them. They lived a life of loneliness, a life of isolation, a hopeless condition. No, there's no medicine that could cure them. Until, hopeless until you could factor God into the equation, and that's always the case, isn't it? Our situations many times are so hopeless until you put God right in the center of the picture, and it changes everything. And that's exactly what these guys did. They cry out to Jesus, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Now, why did they say that to Jesus? I mean, think about it. Why? Well, I'm sure they heard over the last 3 years the love of Jesus, the compassion that Jesus had on people, the power that Jesus had to heal people, especially those that were in need. And they just cry out to him because they want to be healed. They want to be touched by Jesus. Now, when you read the story, the interesting thing is Jesus doesn't heal them instantly. I find that amazing. He tells them, "Hey, you know what? Go to the priest, show yourselves to the priest, and they'll pronounce you guys clean according to Leviticus chapter 14. You got to do that." So as they're going to the priest, all 10 of them are cleansed. Their skin is like that of a baby's now. The disease is completely gone. Can you imagine that? Now, when this happened, one of these men turned to thank Jesus, to praise God. He was excited. Can you imagine the excitement in this guy? He was pumped up. He shouted for joy at the blessings that God had given to him. And Jesus makes this interesting because he tells us that this man was a Samaritan. He wasn't like the other 9 who were Jewish. He was a Samaritan. In fact, the Samaritans were hated by Jews. And the only reason this Samaritan was with the other 9 Jewish people who were lepers was because they were all lepers. And those are the only people they could hang around with. So you might as well gather as many as you can. It's a lot more fun that way. And yet, the 9 did not return to give glory to God, did they? They didn't. They just kept going. But the Samaritan, hated by the Jews, goes back. You wonder what the 9 were saying. "Hey, where are you going?" I'm just going back to give glory to God. We're cleansed. Look at us. Look at our skin. What about those other guys? What was going through their mind? Maybe they were waiting to see, you know, if the cure was real. You know, maybe, it's pretty hot out. Maybe we're just seeing things. Let's just continue on a little farther, see what happens. Let's see if this thing really lasts, you know? Maybe it's just a bad skin condition. I don't know. You know, is there any Clearasil? Who knows? Maybe they thought, you know what? We are so busy. We got to go to the priest. We got to do all these things. And, you know, we'll catch up with Jesus at a later time. Or maybe they just rationalized in their mind, "Hey, I think we were getting well anyway. You know, I thought I saw you getting a little better." I don't know. Whatever the case, whatever the excuse, the reality of the situation remains. They did not come to give glory to God. They didn't come to thank Him. You see, 10 were healed of leprosy. They were healed physically, but only one was healed spiritually, and that was the one who gave thanks. In verse 19, we're told, by Jesus, he says, "Arise, go your way, your faith has made you well." That verse can literally be translated, "Your faith has saved you." The other men may have had whole bodies, but their hearts were still sick. And it all boiled down to having a heart of thankfulness, or unthankfulness, excuse me, for these men, and a heart of thankfulness for the one who was healed. Interesting. Now, as Christians, how does that relate to us? Well, simply speaking, when was the last time you gave thanks to God? Lord, thank you for this meal. That doesn't count. And if you really have to think about it, any length of time, it's been too long. It's been too long. Now, some of you may be thinking that your life has been tough, that things have not worked out the way you thought they should, that life is not fair, and you're having a hard time thanking God with the situations you are presently in. Now, how many of you here this morning, be honest, life has turned out the way you thought it would? None of us, okay? Because we all have plans in our minds, but they don't always add up to what God's plans are. God has some different plans many times, most of the time. And when we pray, we're seeking His will in our life, our will conforming to His will. But I think we need to cultivate that heart of thanksgiving. I'll give you an example of a man who was probably in worse condition than any of us, and yet he took the time for private worship, private thanksgiving before God. The man's name was Daniel. And in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, we're told that now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. This writing was signed by the Medes and the Persians. The king was tricked into that anyone who worshipped anyone else besides the king was to be put to death. Daniel knew that decree was signed. And it says, "And in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days." Now notice Daniel didn't do something that, okay, there's a law passed, now I'm going to try and break that law. No, this is something that he always did, and the guys who made the law knew it. They knew he wasn't going to stop praying. He knew he wasn't going to stop giving thanks before God. Now think about Daniel's life. What did he have to be thankful for? As a teenager, he was taken into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. He was taken to a wicked and immoral nation. His family, his friends were back in Jerusalem. Many had been killed by the Babylonians. And now, as the Babylonian power has come to an end and the Medes and the Persians have conquered Babylon, Daniel is still in captivity. And again, like I said, some of the leaders want him put to death. They didn't like Daniel. But Daniel didn't stop coming before God and thanking him in private for all the blessings he did have, all the blessings he received from God. He didn't focus on what he didn't have, but what God had given him. And most of all, he focused on the fact that he knew that God loved him and that he knew God. And this practice of Daniel, of coming before God in prayer with thanksgiving, was something he did as a child, and now it's carried well on to his life. He could be 80, 90 years old at this point, and he's still doing it, day in and day out, a heart of thanksgiving. It was something that he cultivated his whole life, and you know what? God honored that heart of thanksgiving. Now, have you ever had one of those days that you're kind of just in a funk? You know, it's horrible. You're in a horrible mood. Everything's going wrong for you. And, you know, it's kind of like Mr. T. I pity the fool who the guy who comes in contact with me, okay? I've had days like that. It's not pretty. Ask my wife. She's witnessed it over the past 23 years or so. It's not pretty. But you know what? How do you think God feels when we're acting like that? God has given us so much. And most of all, He's given us life in Jesus. What more do you need? Too often we want more, and what ends up happening is we miss out on what God has given to us, the precious things He's given to us. You know, I remember before I got saved, driving to work, it was miserable for me. It was miserable. As I drove to work, I was positive that some communities were missing their village idiots because they were driving in the car in front of me. Okay? I knew it. There is no doubt in my mind. My focus, my drive was to get to work, and you know what? If you were in my way, you better get out. Because my taxes are paying for this road, buddy. It was horrible. And to see a car broken down in the middle of the road, man, just take their license away. If they can't keep their car fixed, get them off the road. I had a bad attitude, you might say. And it was this thing, it was that thing. And again, it wasn't a pretty picture, obviously. And you could ask my wife. I mean, most of the time when she drove in the car with me, she was hiding under the dashboard because she was terrified the way I drove. And thank God she doesn't hide under the dashboard anymore because I need her as my navigator. Otherwise, I'd be eternally lost. I mean, as women have heard at the luncheon yesterday, our first date I got lost, but that's another story. Now, then I got saved, though, and I slowed down. Now on my drive to work, I saw the beauty of creation, man. I saw deer in the fields. I saw birds flying by. I saw just beautiful sunsets and sunrises. I loved it. The stars at night in the sky. It was spectacular, and I was thankful. Now what changed? Not the situation. I still had to drive. I still had to be on the road in Chicago, and it wasn't fun to drive there. But my focus had changed now. No longer was I focused upon myself, but upon the Lord and the blessings He's given to me and shown to me. And instead of being mad that it takes me 30 minutes to get to work, I can listen to half a teaching message, a Bible study, go into work, and the other half finish it up on the way home. It's a blessing. It's amazing the things you could see when you open your eyes. I'm just amazed at the birds and the deer that are out here. In fact, you know, I've never seen wild turkey before until I moved to Wisconsin. And I'm going down the interstate, I'm thinking, my God, what kind of dog is that on the road? It wasn't a dog, it was a turkey. I was like, oh man. I didn't even know turkeys could fly until I saw them up in a tree and I thought, how did he get up there? About evolution or something before. That's another story. But you know what? It's amazing the things you could see as you watch, not only with your eyes, but with your heart. The things that God shows you about yourself as you're looking at creation, as you're looking at things that are out there. It's important. Private thankfulness, worship before God. Not only are we to give God our private thanksgiving, but also public thanksgiving. In Psalm 35:18, we're told, I will give you thanks in the great assembly, and will praise you among many people. Now, how do we do that? Well, we do that through our songs, through worship like this morning. We do that through corporate prayer, just thanking God for all He's given us. We do that as we fellowship together, as you know, one with each other, with groups of people, just praising the Lord and thanking Him for all He's done. Now, I remember several years ago when we were on vacation in Canada. We were staying outside of Banff. We had a little cabin, and my wife and two kids were there. It was kind of our base camp from where we headed out to other areas in Canada. And the following day, we were supposed to be heading out on a long journey and ending at this wilderness waterfall. And we were pretty excited about it. And so as we got started early that morning, I went to look for the car keys, and I couldn't find the car keys for the car we rented. And the dealership where we rented the car wouldn't only give us one set. They wouldn't give us two sets of keys, which really frustrated me, but I said, fine. And we couldn't find them. And then I remembered, oh, yeah, my wife went to wash the clothes last night. She took the car and the car keys, and so she must have them. She didn't. We didn't know where in the world these keys were at. We went looking through the entire cabin that we were in for the car keys. We went, in fact, we went to peek inside the car to see maybe they had fallen under the seat or somewhere, and we looked everywhere. She had this little fanny pack where all her stuff was in, and I looked in that a couple times. She did. My kids looked in that fanny pack. We couldn't find it. We could not find those keys. We couldn't imagine what happened to them because there wasn't a lot of places to lose them. We looked on the ground thinking maybe carrying the clothes in, she dropped them. Nothing. So all we could do was call a locksmith to come and make another set of keys for us. And before he did, we said, you know, could you open up the car for us? Maybe the keys are under the seat or something. We just can't see them. And I'll tell you what, for not having a key, he opened that car so fast. I think, why do I lock my car? I mean, he was in there within a minute, man. But it wasn't in the car. We couldn't find the keys there. So he made us another set of keys, and Julie got out the fanny pack where she kept the money to pay the man, and as she opened it, the keys were right on top of the fanny pack. And we're thinking, we looked in that thing, and I'm sure the locksmith is going, Well, why in the world did you call me? The keys are right there. Why didn't you look in the fanny pack? But we did. I looked in it several times. My wife did. My kids even looked in it. And I'll tell you what, the keys were not there. So we paid the man, and we praised the Lord. We didn't know why he stalled our travels, but he did stall us for a few hours. And maybe we said, you know, to the kids, maybe he's protecting us from an accident. We don't know. We don't have an idea. We may never know. But God has what's best for us, and we praised the Lord, and we began our journey. And it was just a great lesson for the kids. And as we approached our last stop, we had a great day, this waterfall in the middle of nowhere, and I love, my wife says, you never take pictures of people, not even the family. You only take pictures of scenery. I love scenery. I can't help it. So this waterfall, I had my telephoto lens, and this waterfall was very close, so I changed my lens in the car to my regular lens and got out of the car, locked the door, closed the door, and we went out on our hike. And on the way back to the car, I reached into my pocket for the car keys, and guess what? They weren't there. And I looked at Julia and just smiled. I said, you know, I know the reason that God had us make another set of keys, because I was going to be dumb enough to lock the keys in the car. And she pulls her little keys out, and we open the door, and we just praise the Lord. We couldn't believe it. Once God had a perfect plan. In fact, we, like I said, we were in the middle of nowhere. And if we had to get into the car, we'd have to break a window, really. That's the only way. There was no one there. And yet God had a plan. And, you know, the key to me is that we had hearts of thanksgiving even when we weren't sure of what God was doing. And as a family, we praised and thanked God, and we were blessed. Now, I wish I could tell you, you know, every time something in my life happens like that, yeah, I'm just praising the Lord and just thanking Him. I'll tell you what, it's not true. Sometimes I get upset and frustrated. What is going on? How come I can't find this? Or can't? And you know what? That's the wrong attitude to have. It is. And God has shown me that, especially this week as I've been working on this study, that we need to have hearts of thanksgiving. We may not always understand why. We may have never known why God wanted us to make another set of keys. But He showed us this time. The thing is, can you trust Him and what He's doing? Can you just say, Lord, I don't get it, but I do understand You, and I know Your love for me and for my family. I'm just going to trust in You. I'm going to praise You and thank You. Now, again, it's easy to move from one thing to the next thing to the next thing without ever giving thanks to God. Think about the things you've prayed for and how God answered those prayers. And did you thank Him? You need to. You know, sometimes I think we pray, Lord, do this, do that, and the thing happens and we don't even think about, well, Lord, I'm sorry, I forgot to thank You. I forgot to say thanks for what You've done in this situation. And believe me, I do know at times it can be very difficult because of the situations we find ourselves in. You know, during those times we struggle. We're wondering, you know, we're seeking God's will for our lives. And I think we can become so frustrated because God's will seems so distant. God, I don't even feel You anymore. Where are You? And if you're in that situation this morning, listen carefully. And if you're not, listen carefully because you're probably going to be in it one day. Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 put it this way. He said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. People want to know, what's the will of God for my life? One of the things is giving thanks to God. Now, it is difficult to be thankful for all situations, but I can be thankful in everything, knowing that somehow, some way, God will bring good out of it. I don't always understand how. I don't. You know, the death of a child, a marriage and a divorce that ends in a divorce, a devastating illness. I don't always understand how God is going to use it for good. And I may never see the good that comes out of it, but I know that God will use it for good. I know what His Word says, that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. All things will work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to His purpose. And I believe that with all my heart. And it can be difficult for us to swallow these things at times, but I truly believe we must have thankful hearts, because if we don't, as we're not doing the will of God, Paul goes on to say in verse 19 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, do not quench the Spirit. One of the ways we can quench the Spirit of God's work in our lives is to have a heart of unthankfulness. It would be like throwing water on the fire of the Holy Spirit, quenching the Spirit. I think it's important that we have thankful hearts. And like I said, it's not always easy. A great example of this whole thing is in Jerusalem, they have a museum with artifacts and stories from the Jewish Holocaust of World War II. And in this museum called Yad Vashem, there is a section that honors Corrie ten Boom for her heroic efforts in helping the Jewish people out during this time. And Corrie ten Boom suffered greatly in the Nazi concentration camps. And after she was released, one of the men who tortured her asked for forgiveness. And as Corrie ten Boom looked into his eyes, she remembered the horror inflicted upon her and others, the death of her own sister. But then she said, the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. And I think that's true. It's our will, what we desire. But you know what? As you harden your will, your heart will also start to become hard. She didn't thank God for the suffering, but you know what? In that, she could extend the forgiveness of God to this man who was torturing her at one time and now was being tortured by his own actions and wanted forgiveness. And true forgiveness comes from Jesus. Now, on the other end of the spectrum, as we have unthankful hearts, as we cultivate that attitude in our heart and our lives, I think we then begin to manifest those qualities in our lives. We become angry because we didn't get this or that. We're bitter that this person got this or that. We mumble and grumble over things. And you know what? It's not a pretty picture. We need to cultivate a thankful heart because that is what will then flow from our lives. And you know what? You'll begin to see the beauty that's around you. The beauty that can come from difficult times, tragic times, because you know that God is in control. But you have to cultivate that. You have to purpose that in your heart. I want to thank you, Lord. I don't understand it. Can you imagine Job and all the things he went through, and yet it says that Job did not sin. He did not bring a riling accusation against God. Wow. Study the things that he lost in one day. It's tough. We don't always understand the hows and whys, and Job spent like 30-some chapters trying to figure out the hows and whys of God. And finally God said, you know, Job, were you there when I created everything? Were you there? Were you part of that? And of course Job could only say, of course not. And God was telling Job, look, Job, you're not going to understand the hows and whys. My thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways, God said in Isaiah. You got to trust in me. You got to fall back on what you know about me. What do we know about God? He's a God of love who loves us more than we will ever know. When we were dead in our trespasses and sins, he died for us. When we were wicked sinners, he died for us. He loves us more than we will ever know. If that's the only thing you remember, hold on to that. His love for you. And thank him. Thank him for that. Now, again, some of you still may be having a hard time with this, and you just don't know what to be thankful for. And if you're in that position, I want you to write this verse down, and even if you're not, write it down. Listen to what Paul had to say in 2 Corinthians 9:15. It's a great verse. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. What is that gift? What is that indescribable gift? It's Jesus Christ, of course. The Living Bible puts this verse this way. Thank God for his Son, his gift too wonderful for words. We can't even put in words the beauty, the wonder, the joy of having his Son in our life. And so if you're having a hard time being thankful this morning, then think about all that God has done for you. And as you meditate upon that, you can't help but thank him for all he's done. And as you cultivate that heart of thanksgiving, it's going to grow and grow. But if you don't, if you have a heart of unthankfulness, your heart is going to get hard, it's going to get bitter, it's going to get angry. You're always going to be looking at the things that you don't have instead of what God has given you. And I'm sure if we were to go around here this morning and I was to ask every single one of you, you know, what bad things have happened in your life? We'd all be depressed, okay? We would. But what about focusing not on the things you don't have or the things that you've been through, but what about the things that God has given to you? Husband, wife, children, a job, a home, food, clothing, friends. I'm so thankful for all of you. You're my family up here. You're my family, period. I'm closer to you than I am to my own family in Illinois. My own family doesn't know the Lord. I can't share the joy of the Lord that I have with them. I can't tell them the things that God is doing in my life because they don't want to hear it. And you're my brothers and sisters in the Lord. You're my family. And I am so thankful the family that God has given me. I just rejoice in that. And I hope you're thankful for the family God has given you. Just praise Him and thank Him. As I begin to wrap this up this morning, listen to this article from the Prairie Overcomer. And it helps to sum up our study. They said, it has often been pointed out that thinking precedes thanking. When we are presented with a gift, it is because we think of its significance and meaning that we are led to express our appreciation. What then are the thoughts that, entertained by Christians, lead to thanksgiving? Somewhere in our thinking there should be thoughts of God. Perhaps we should start there. God, what a train of thought should be started when we think of Him. Power, wisdom, goodness, grace, love, care. These are just some of the thoughts that cluster around the Word of God. When Paul traces the downward path of mankind, he begins by saying that men, when they knew God, glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful. Men were not thankful that they had a revelation of God. Indeed, they sought to suppress that knowledge and to evade its power. In addition to thoughts of God, there should be thoughts of ourselves, which is we should see our own insignificance in the light of the facts we know about God. We should see and confess our own frailty and failures. We should admit our commitment to earthly things. But we should not stop there. We should think thoughts about our privileges in Christ. God has loved us and made us significant through sending His Son to die for us. The Father has accepted us in the beloved Son. In the light of these thoughts, we should be led to think of our responsibilities. We are now responsible to live for God's glory. Redeemed, we should seek to serve Him faithfully. We should recognize our responsibility to be thankful. And from our lips, there should come a daily song of praise. Why is it then that we are not more thankful? The truth probably is that we don't stop to think. The cares and riches and pleasures of this life choke the plant of gratitude and our lives become unfruitful. Thanksgiving is thus really the product of careful cultivation. It is the fruit of a deliberate resolve to think about God, ourselves, and our privileges and responsibilities. By giving thanks, we make manifest the fact that our lives are not controlled by the imperious cares and concerns of this life. We give testimony to the fact that material things do not dictate the horizons of our soul. And that's important. You know, the joy of the Lord is not based on outward circumstances. It's based on an inward reality. It's based on the person of Jesus Christ. Well, yeah, you know, there's a lot of things that make me happy. You know, when the Bears defeat the Packers, I'm happy. Hasn't happened too often. I don't think it's happened since I've been up here. I don't know. When they lose, then what? I'm not happy anymore? But you know, when there's the joy of the Lord, that never changes because God never changes. Oh, the circumstances will continually change around you. They will. There is no doubt about it. One minute things are great. The next minute, you know, you swear your kids are demon-possessed, man. You're ready to get the holy water out. The circumstances have changed. But the joy of the Lord hasn't. The situation has. And what is going to be the focus of your life? It's got to be Jesus and thanking Him for all you have. As believers, we need to have thankful hearts to cultivate that attitude in our lives because God is worthy of our praise, of our thanksgiving. And turn quickly to Psalm 100. Listen to a short little psalm on thanksgiving. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is good, or He is God, excuse me. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. That is a great little psalm of thanksgiving. Just remembering who God is, remembering His love for us, His care for us, which causes us to shout for joy, to have a heart of thanksgiving. And look at verse 4. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. You see, guys, Thanksgiving is the path of fellowship, is the path of fellowship to God. It's important. Don't be like the 9 lepers who were not thankful towards God and what he had done for them. Be like the one who was thankful, and you know what? You'll be blessed. You'll be so blessed. As I close, just let me leave you with this one verse, Psalm 140, verse 13, which says, "Surely the righteous shall give thanks to your name, the upright shall dwell in your presence." May we be a people who are thankful to God for all he has done for us. I mean, it's truly tragic when there are Christians who just complain all the time. And the unsaved see this and they think, wow, man, that's the God they serve is just complaining? Oh, I have a heart of thanksgiving, man. All that God has given you. And you know, I'll tell you, you start to cultivate in this in your heart and it just continue to grow and grow. I'm always amazed at the things that I'd missed out most of my life because I wasn't seeing with my eyes or my heart. And once God got a hold of that and I started looking around and seeing the beauty of his creation, the beauty of this world, the variety of different people that are out there, the variety of creation, man, just thank him for that. It's so beautiful. It's so awesome. And it's just a joy to serve the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we do pray that you would help us to have thankful hearts, Lord. Most of all for your Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life so that we could live. That is the ultimate thanksgiving. Thank you so much for that, Lord. But also just for our family and friends and jobs and all the things that you have provided for us. Just the beauty of creation itself. And yes, it's been distorted since sin entered the world, but we still see the glimpse of that beauty. And one day, we will see it in its fullness as the lion and the bear will lay down together. It'll just, creation will be back to the way it was in the garden. And we look forward to that day, Lord. But right now, help us to have thankful hearts, to go out with joy, to be led forth with peace, just singing your praises. We thank you so much, and we just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.